This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Voice of SMEs. Raya is fast approaching. Mm. Comes the hunt for the perfect baju raya.
Yes.
One go-to label here in the Klang Valley, which prides itself in making one-of-a-kind designs for their customers, is Inai Group. They are usually the, this is usually the busiest time of the year as they cater to stylish Malaysian ladies looking for unique assembly. For the special occasion.
Yeah, so Inai Group also have a bespoke label under the brand called Inai Red, which is known to be a favourite of some big names here in Malaysia. People like Vivi Yusof, Tun M's granddaughter Ali Mukris, and our Tengku Pemaisuri Selangor, Tengku Pemaisuri Nurashikin are said to be loyal customers of Inai as well. So how does the MCO affect a fashion label like Inai? Now, especially considering customers who would now have to go online to purchase items from their line and not walk into their stores for that bespoke attention to detail that Inai is known for. So we have with us on the line Izrin Ismail, founder of Inai Group. Izrin, thanks for speaking with us. How has the MCO affected business at Inai? Especially after the extension was announced a couple of weeks ago that also covered Ramadan.
To be honest, MCO has affected my business quite substantially. But having said that, also I'm really grateful that there has been still ongoing business that I'm reaping from. So let me just get started on prior to MCO. Prior to MCO, we actually planned to launch 3 Raya collections, all in different stages. And for both of my brands, which is for the Inai brand and also for the Inai Red brand. And as I'm not sure whether you're quite aware, but with both brands, Inai and Inai Red, we highly... these two brands, we highly anticipate people to have to come into the physical store because we don't have it. We don't have an online channel to shop. Initially, this one of the collections under Inai Red was supposed to be on an e-commerce website, but unfortunately, because of the pandemic, that was initially when that happened in Wuhan in China, and they knew that it's going to affect Malaysia at one point of time, and unfortunately, we couldn't close the deal because we didn't know when we were supposed to get our delivery, whether it's going to be on time, because things from China at that point in time was just, everything was either on hold or it's on like really, really delayed. So with my contract with the e-commerce platform, I have to obviously deliver a certain date, and if not, there'll be some penalties that I need to incur and things like that. And obviously, they have planned out their marketing and promotions and all that. So I knew that I couldn't come up with a delivery deadline, hence the contract was null and void, really. So it's considered as this project that we were on it, that we're just at that, line where we're supposed to just sign the contract and get everything all done, because everything else has been 80% there already. So unfortunately, because of the pandemic happened in China, obviously the project didn't take off. But having said that, we kind of need to stop because we obviously need to sell something on our part as well. So I decided to also just forego doing the collection as well. But I actually slashed the quantities and in terms of styles also, knowing that I would have to sell it on my own, my own channel, as in like whether I have it online or at the physical store. So later down the road, Malaysia was affected with the pandemic and then MCO got started. And we haven't launched any of the Raya collections. So when the PM announced the first stage of the MCO, I was really confused. I was like, oh, how do we go on this? How do we move? And how do we actually launch our Ramadan collection or Raya collection, right? So, and the fact that we're not available online. So my brother-in-law and my husband, we quickly, got ourselves drilled down and got a website to launch ASAP. I know that it's a strange for a brand like us who has been around for quite a long time, not having an online shopping site. But because we are brands where we actually value the whole customer service and the whole traction of people coming to the store and servicing them. And besides, Inai Red brand does a lot of customization and a lot of bespoke. So those is something that you can't do online, really. And as for the Inai brand, I mean, we are selling a bit more on the premium side of products. And we also started off being just a physical store, and we also have exclusive pieces, which are really just one-off, like our batik pieces. So it's actually hard to have just one-off pieces on an online site, because people are just going to get frustrated having like, oh, that piece is pretty, but, you know, it's just one piece, because it's actually an art piece, because it's a batik piece, right? Mm. So we have found like quite a struggle to actually move Inai and Inai Red as an online experience brand, you see. So, but because we know that this MCO is going to take a while, seeing that how China or Italy at that point in time was on their lockdown, and they have passed, you know, at that time, where Italy has gone on to the second week, and I knew that it will take more than a month. And I have stocks with me that's coming, and I need to sell them. So we really had to get our online website fast. So we kind of got that done on like a late second week.
What's the biggest challenge for a bespoke business in the fashion industry during a lockdown like this?
Well, I would say the biggest challenge is that, I mean, the fact that we actually moved digitally, and also that because we also have this Luxe Collection bespoke that we actually launched. And we were supposed to launch it on the 1st of April. And 1st of April is when we were under the MCO. And I knew that I had to push the date a little bit because people were still trying to find their rhythm, working from home. And there was a lot of fear at that time, right? And I also felt like launching on the first week of MCO might be very insensitive because that people were just, you know, worried about the virus, and people were fighting anxiety and depression and was worrying about what is to come. And, you know, obviously fashion wasn't their priority at that point of time. So, and having bespoke virtually is something that is quite challenging as well. So, but we had to pivot ourselves. We have to see like, okay, this could probably be a new normal. People are still quite scared. Later on when this MCO is going to be uplifted, people are not going to be coming to the store because they're quite scared. So I thought that we have to do our bespoke appointments virtually. So that's one of it that we did during the MCO, because when we launched our Luxe Collection, which is a bespoke line, obviously we sent it out to our regulars first, knowing that we already have their measurements with us. So we reached out to them to see whether they're interested and things like that. So a lot of them, a lot of our regulars were continuing to support us, and they went on with the virtual appointments with us. And like I said, we already have their measurements, and we kind of ease up the process. But there were also new customers where they made a virtual appointment with us. So we actually went to step by step and even showed them like how to take the measurements, you know, what is needed. And we went through the whole process of showing the fabrications, the sketching and the designs virtually. And I have to say that it went successfully. But obviously, I mean, as much as we could do more during for Raya sales, but that's not the point at the moment. I mean, looking at profitability, I'm not looking at profitability at the moment. I'm actually looking at to just sustain. So that is one of the biggest challenge for me, especially for my bespoke brand.
Hmm. Virtual appointments. Wow. All right. Izrin, what else did you have to do to keep the business going this year under COVID-19? I know everyone has had to be creative to pivot. What did you guys do to stay relevant?
So I think now at this present time, I think it's all about process of rebuilding after post-MCO, well, CMCO, now we're at it. I guess rebuilding is a bit more difficult because we are now left with quite a mess. And we have to reorganize the mess and somehow kind of work with the old and the new resources of ideas and build up. And it's a very painful process. But I'm refocusing my energy on, like, you know, how we have to rebuild ourselves, our confidence, and also the business, obviously. And without rebuilding, we actually don't have revival. And I guess in short term, I'm not focusing on profits. but I'm rather looking at sustaining the business itself and learning to do more with less. And also that I feel that the arrival of this pandemic has affected, you know, obviously the whole world, whether it's politically, economically, socially, and we all need to be just, you know, strive for stability collectively.
You know, we've got Izrin on the line from INI Group, and, you know, we're talking about how they're coping, especially, you know, we talked about, you know, fashion industry is on a decline because nobody wants to go shopping. And here they're a bespoke fashion company. So we'll continue the discussion with them in just a moment. BFM 89.9.
Behold freedom, Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is Voice of SMEs. We have Izrin Ismail, the founder of INI Group, on the line with us. Let's move on. I guess, you know, Izrin, we heard you guys also are embarking on a rebranding during this MCO. So how challenging was it for you to do something like this under the lockdown?
Okay. This rebranding that we actually did was a quick change where we actually need to consolidate both brands, INI Red and also INI, under a one platform online, which is now called INI & Co. Because we can't have, because we have three separate collections, and we can't have like two different websites, one INI Red, one INI. People just want to get confused, and the fact that we're selling in a very short time period. So we thought like having INI & Co and having both brands to go under it, and with a clear tab saying that this is an INI Red Luxe, INI Red Ready to Wear, and then we have the INI collection, for instance. So I think it's a better marketing way. So, and we quickly changed our logo at that point of time, and, you know, and doing up the website and putting all the information as clear and as transparent as possible on the website. And it was quite challenging because everything was actually done in just nearly slightly over 2 weeks. And we didn't have time to even promote it, you see, when the website is pretty much ready and we had a quick check and proofread and everything. We just need to launch it, and we didn't have time to even make mention like, oh, we'll be launching INI & Co in 5 days time or in 3 days time, when things were just ready to go live. We just, you know, get it live. That people were just quite surprised, like, and they were quite curious also. I mean, like, what is this INI & Co all about? Because it just came out of a sudden, right? And that kind of stirred quite a good publicity for us, I feel. I was on a IG chat on the same night that we launched it, and I spoke a little bit on it. And at that point in time, I think they kind of got traction, and I could see that people would actually be, you know, shifting and having a look what is INI & Co is all about. And that's when we had to launch the collection immediately as well. So I have to say that what was challenging is that apart from getting to do this rebranding, working from home, and we didn't have time to even market it, and instead we just need to relaunch it abruptly. And even by doing so, it gives like a positive traction. So I'm quite happy.
Izrin, just before we go, you know, has this crisis taught you anything about yourself as an entrepreneur? Lessons that maybe you will carry for the rest of your entrepreneurship journey?
Well, to be honest, I feel that I have mixed up emotions during this crisis, really. I mean, there are days that I was very positive. There are days I would be very down. I'd be very worried. But I have to say that I'm so happy that the strength that my team has been giving me, I mean, that and the first week when we were under MCO, we were obviously all at home, and we couldn't, my business is not something that you can actually work from home, because we're pretty much like a production site, right? And not everyone has the machines at home and equipment. Mm. So it's impossible to work from home. And then when the first week we felt, and then Moda Malaysia, got in contact with me about the PPE. I'm not sure whether you were aware that we sold PPE for the frontliners. So I thought that, okay, probably we should do that with our time. And the fact that we could actually work at our atelier to produce these PPEs, and because a letter was given out to us for us to work for PPEs, and we thought that this should be something that we should be doing at this point of time, because business aside, I mean, humanity first, and I feel that we should all help out whatever ways we can. Even, you know, I mean, even we can't give donations or whatsoever. I mean, like, this is my workforce can help out the frontliners. So I gathered my teams and make sure that they work on rotation, a small number of people, of staff, I mean, working together and producing the PPEs. So I think that this crisis has taught me about to be, you know, to give back, to be humble. And sometimes there are times that you just have to put business aside for a time being and help out. And, you know, there's always a blessing somewhere, you know. And the first, the second week when we got ourselves into producing PPEs, up till today, we're still producing PPEs. So that's already about, what, 6 weeks doing PPEs, I guess, that, you know. And there was a lot of support coming from our customers, saying that they're proud of us for reaching out and helping out, you know. And they, too, wanted to support us back by whether it's purchasing our products or, you know, giving us free meals, giving the team free meals. So I think this crisis has taught us about, you know, about quite like a self-reflection, I would say. And as an entrepreneur, I think that I value my staff very much at this time. And sometimes, I mean, they come up to me and say, like, look, boss, I mean, I know times are tough. I mean, whenever you think that you, whatever you think is right for you to do, just do it, you know. So that gives me like such a great feeling. I know that they're standing behind me and they're really close with me. To know that they're supporting me in any way of my decision. But I'm so glad that I still have business running up to today, and my cash flow, I would say, obviously, is quite tight. No one is great with cash flow at the time being, right? Yeah, but I have not touched my reserve yet, and I probably will have to bound months to come to touch my reserve. And I think that I'm just happy that this crisis has taught me togetherness and giving back to the society. And also that, you know, looking at to just sustain the business and not so much on profitability.
That's really nice to hear. Yeah. That's Izrin Ismail, the founder of INI Group. And I guess, you know, it is, you know, challenging at this point in time with, you know, Raya just feels so different.
It does, right? I mean, one of the things that I always look forward to, you know, being a non-Muslim during, just before Raya, is like every other weekend you go to a mall and you find all these little pop-ups or the Ramadan bazaars that you know, like they have these, you can see new fashion labels, new cosmetic labels, some selling crafts, you know.
The micro SMEs.
Yes, and this is how they start out, you know. They start with the pre-Raya promotions and then after that they slowly find themselves online or they go to like things like Rio, you know, like these festivals. Right, and that's how they kind of kickstart their business. They gain traction. They start an Instagram account. You know, after that, I think like if not for festivals like Rio, I wouldn't have discovered, you know, brands like JITK Artworks or Better Than Blouses. You know, they've all started from these little pop-up stores and then now look where they are.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's something that I missed this year, but I really hope that we start seeing them come out in full force, hopefully for next Raya.
Also, I think, you know, there's that domino effect, because a lot of these smaller micro SMEs who go out to the bazaars and do all this branding outdoors, they also buy a lot of equipments from other kind of retailers. So, for example, you know, I was recently over the weekend, I had to buy some ingredients and some packagings for my girlfriend who's doing brownies. Mm. And, you know, I was queuing up outside of this bakery store and I saw, you know, individuals buying small little container plastic boxes, the ones where you would put your Raya cookies in it, and they were buying it in bulks. And I'm just thinking, it's like, wow, like actually, a lot of these people are also impacted, and now these guys probably have to go online, but you know they may not have the resources or the knowledge to do so. Thankfully for Izrin, like, you know, she had her brother-in-law and a brother to set up the website to do everything. But even then, it's still, you know, it's not easy because now you're competing and going online. You got to then, you know, buy your SEO, your search engine optimization, because if someone were to search for Bajuraya, are you going to appear on the first page or on the 10th page?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, even appearing on the second page,
it's not good enough.
It's not good enough.
Yeah. And we've heard how some big organizations are struggling to get like things like bottles and you know, containers and labels, you know, the sticker
labels.
You got to
print stickers.
Yeah, and
it's not easy.
They're paying like 3x or 10x for the regular stuff that they usually get from China, which is now impossible.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a struggle.
Yeah, I know it was a struggle for me to get the stickers, to get the packaging right. So we had to make do with so many changes, and we had to then inform some of the customers saying like, we're really sorry because the usual packaging is out, so we have to put it in this packaging. So instead of one box, you're going to get two smaller boxes. So had to make do a lot of changes. And I guess, you know, in some ways, this time around, people are a little bit more forgiving as
well. Yeah, that's true.
People understand, as long as you are transparent about, you know, what you're doing and having a little kind of small little notes, you know, saying thank you and stuff like that actually really does go a long way. And hopefully, like you said, hopefully these kind of brands will then come out again when, you know, it's safe enough to do so.
Yeah.
That was Izreen Ismail, the founder of INI Group. You can download the podcast. It's Voice of SMEs on bfm.my or on Spotify. We'll come back with Powering Through the Pandemic after this. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.